Hello there. I'm Colleen.
I'm Anders.
And I'm Daniel.
We're three nerds that met through our love of science fiction and fantasy storytelling. Of course, one of our favorites is George Lucas's signature achievement, Star Wars.
And if there's one thing the internet definitely doesn't have enough of, it's nerds talking about Star Wars. So here we are with yet another Star Wars podcast, where each week we discuss one of the films in the current Star Wars canon.
From the sands of Tatooine to the levels of Coruscant, we cover it all. Yet another Star Wars podcast is available wherever you get your podcast and is part of the Forgotten Entertainment family.
Hey, Field Hang 10. Watch out for a new wave of episodes for Forgotten Cinema Season 9, Forgotten Summer.
Ugh, really, Butler, a theme season? Let me guess, we're going to talk about films that were released in the coveted summer months that for some reason seem to be forgotten by audiences.
You know it, bro. What we liked about them or maybe didn't. But we'll always recommend people check them out. Maybe they'll find their own Forgotten Summer gem.
So check out Forgotten Summer wherever you get your podcast, part of the Forgotten Entertainment family.
Hold on, gotta catch this wave.
We're sitting at desk in the recording booth.
Hello, and welcome to another new episode of Two Player Bros. I'm Mike, with me as always is Dave, and we're here to talk about some video game stuff.
What's up?
Nothing much. How you doing, Dave?
Not too bad. Excited to talk about whatever you have in store for us today, Mike.
Awesome, I guess. So, fun stuff for anyone who's a fan of Destiny 2. Crossplay has arrived, and it's months ahead of schedule. Kind of. By accident.
Straight up reading an article right now?
No, I'm looking at the article for how guidance.
How close to the headline of the article was what you just said?
Not very close. Okay. I guess the crossplay by Bungie is accidentally enabled while they're doing testing and stuff. They accidentally enabled it. So you're able to access all the crossplay features right now, but they're going to disable it again pretty soon. So even Destiny 2's head of community has said, you know, go ahead and enjoy it while you can, but we're going to disable it until we do further testing, you know, pretty soon.
Okay.
But if it's ready to go, if it's working, I mean, let it go and tweak it as it goes. I don't know about shutting it down now. If the cat's out of the bag and it's working, I don't know if they should shut it down. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well,
then again, I don't know how this kind of stuff works either.
I don't know what they're testing or how it works either. If they say it's not ready, sure, it's not ready. Maybe it's conspiracies, you know.
PlayStation, we haven't paid PlayStation enough yet, we can't have this active.
I mean, maybe that's what happened with Fortnite, right? They threw it on just to show it was possible and oops, wrong button.
That's epic, man, pushing buttons.
No, I don't know. I mean, I don't really have an opinion on it. That crossplay's cool. Crossplay should exist. But if they say it's not ready, if it's like on their plan of, if they're saying we're going to have it, there must be a reason why they wouldn't just press the button if it is as simple as pressing the button, right?
Right. I guess originally it's supposed to be out this fall, so this is pretty early for it to be accidentally out.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, if, I Epic's, we accidentally press the button, who knows how easy that is compared to how easy it actually is to make something crossplay or not, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like someone to honestly talk about how easy it is to make something crossplay or not, because I'm curious to see how easy or difficult it is to make something crossplay multiplayer wise once you've already built the engine and all that.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll have to ask Epic or whoever.
I'll get on that. I doubt they'll get back to me.
Take the Twitter, Mike.
The second thing is Star Wars Celebration. 2022 will take place in May, not August this year. I just wanted to see your thoughts on what you think is going to be announced, what won't be announced, what you're excited for. You know, it's a whole year until the next celebration. Obviously, they're going to announce movies and TV shows, but I'm wondering if there's any Star Wars video game stuff you're looking forward to that you think will be announced or won't be announced, or what you're hoping for. Because there's a lot of Star Wars rumors now, that including Gears of War developers, you know, they were working on stuff, the Coalition, I guess, or something.
I think they came out and said they were not working.
They did. They just said, that's a rumor, we're not working on stuff. But
So you want me to guess?
What are you looking forward to, or what do you think actually will be announced video game wise for Star Wars?
Do you think anything will be?
I'm thinking it's pretty much a sure bet by that time. Jedi Fallen Order 2 will be shown at some point, even if it's just a teaser that's not actually gameplay.
So I've never paid attention to Star Wars Celebration. Like, what kind of content do you typically get from it?
It depends. Like, when Star Wars movies are announced, they announce some big things. Like, they announced that Palpatine was going to be in Rise of the Skywalker. They've announced that, you know, the name of the movies. They've announced sometimes they announce certain cast members. They've announced certain cartoon shows. Or
they don't do all that stuff at D3 now, or whatever Disney show is called.
Sometimes they do it at D3 as well. So yeah, it's either or now with the two groups.
Gotcha. I guess I'm expecting some Star Wars memes more than anything. I don't know. Jedi Fallen Order 2 would be cool if you saw a trailer for that, but you're not going to. I would be shocked if you saw. I don't think you're going to see any video game related stuff, honestly, if it's not like already an announced project. Maybe you get like a trailer for what Ubisoft is doing. I think that's all really early. I have no idea, but I can't imagine in May with E3 less than a month after that you're going to be getting much for the video game.
Well, this is content. 2022. They're not doing a celebration this year.
Wait, you want me to predict what's happening a year from now?
Yeah.
You want me to predict what they're going to announce a year from now?
Yeah. In the world of video games, that's not long. Video games take 4 to 6 years to make.
I have no idea, Mike. What do you think they're going to announce a year from now?
I think that there's been enough rumors about KOTOR that there's almost certainly going to be a KOTOR announcement at E3, or at either E3 this year or the celebration the next year. I don't think E3 this year, because I think we'd have gotten some leaks at this point.
Why not E3 next year?
It could be E3 next year, but I think that's something that Star Wars fans, like hardcore Star Wars fans, would be more excited for, since it is supposed to be a straight up remake of the first two games. It's not supposed to be KOTOR 3, from what I've heard. So I would think we'd see that. I think by 2022, you'd see a Jedi Fallen Order teaser. But I don't think you'd see one yet, because they're still hiring for what's probably going to be Jedi Fallen Order and stuff like that.
Wait, are we talking about Jedi Fallen Order or KOTOR?
Both. In terms of like what I think we're going to say. KOTOR is supposedly being worked on right now by one of the companies that did one of the ports of one of the KOTORs.
Yeah, I remember hearing something about that. Reading something about that a couple months ago.
And I would think by 2022, we might see something else about a new battle front game. But especially considering how popular it has been since the updates and stuff.
But you don't think you're going to hear anything about these games this year?
I don't think we'll see anything Star Wars this year. Maybe you'd see a Jedi Fallen Order teaser. Maybe like the brief is like, hey, we're making it. But I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Do you think we'll see some of Star Wars this year?
Yeah, I don't know what, but yeah.
I don't know. I think it's been pretty quiet on the Star Wars front other than like rumors and stuff, but maybe. I mean, I'm hoping for Star Wars stuff every year. I think you should always see Star Wars
stuff. Haven't they announced like 3 Star Wars games in the past couple months?
Did they?
Well, there's the Ubisoft one.
Yeah.
Weren't there 2? There's at least one more, wasn't there?
I know the KOTOR rumor one.
Maybe I'm just thinking of Indiana Jones.
I mean, they could show that off at Star Wars if they want, but I mean, I don't think they're going to.
No, maybe it was just the Ubisoft one, but I felt like there was a lot of... I felt like I was really excited for Star Wars a couple months ago.
So I mean, I'd like to see one, yeah. I mean, I think there should be one. We've talked about like every year at least one, but they've kind of been slowing down on that.
Ooh.
But yeah, I think by sometime next year, I'd like to see something about the new KOTOR, and I'd like to see something about the new Jedi Fallen Order. But who knows? Battlefront would be nice too.
They're working on a Jedi Fallen Order Series X PS5 update, right? Or version?
Yes, they did announce that. Yeah. But that's supposed to be free for anybody who owns it.
Okay. Yes, I don't know how deep into working on a sequel they are, if they're still
polishing up some game.
If they're still working on Fallen Order. I don't know.
I'm interested in seeing what they have in store for Star Wars. Like at this point, I'm more excited for new Star Wars video games than I am movies or even TV shows at this point. At this point, there have been so many Star Wars TV shows announced and planned and so many movies announced and plans that I think it's the video games that are kind of getting the short stick in this at this point.
Yeah, I guess so. Obviously, Disney is much more focused, is going to be more focused on Disney Plus and in movies and whatnot than they would be like their video games. But
we'll right.
See. We'll see. I hope we get some Star Wars games soon.
I want a pod racer. I want a modern pod racer.
Just play the remake.
So apparently the next Battlefield is going to come out between October and December, holiday season, and we're going to get a look at it in June. It's supposedly one of the biggest Battlefields, and it's going to take advantage of next-gen engines, which it should. I think at this point, if you're going to make a new version of your game, it shouldn't be beholden by the previous generation at this point. Just start doing new generation games.
I don't know. With the pandemic, you'd have to assume that, you know, a lot of games that they were... If things got slowed down, I would expect for the next year, maybe even two, we'll still see, you know, games that...
Work on the previous gen.
That were built, you know, primarily for last gen or current gen, whatever you call it. And just have, you know, the Series X PS5 upgrades. Who knows?
I don't know. But with Battlefield 6 announced, I know we talked about in, I think, the episode before last, how we're not excited for Battlefield.
Did we?
Yeah. What would it take for you to be excited for Battlefield 6? And you didn't really play Battle. You said you didn't really play Battlefield 5 at all, right?
No, I don't think I've ever played it. Honestly, at this point in my life, there's literally nothing they can do that would get me excited for a Battlefield. I've never been a huge Battlefield guy. I mean, I loved 42 and I loved Vietnam, but like, as far as even the bad companies, all the console versions of Battlefield, I've never been like super into them. I think we played Battlefield 4 a bit.
Four for a bit. Yeah.
When it,
you mean your cousin? Yeah. I was a big fan of one. But I don't know if you really played one with me at all.
No. See, it's just not for me. So, no, there's nothing they could really do that would get me excited. I've always been a little... I am interested to see what they do because I've always been a little overwhelmed with Battlefield, like the newer ones, because of how big the maps are. I liked it when it was like these big open areas, but you were on, you know, Wake Island, and it was just like this... It was a small area, you know?
Right.
It wasn't like a massive map. As they've gotten bigger and bigger, it's just kind of become more and more boring. Like, I just don't like it as much. But with like the scope of games now, I don't think there's any way that they're going to make tighter maps, right? I mean, if anything, it's going to be more like trying to capture again the battle royale aspect of it or whatever. So I just don't think me and Battlefield are on the same page, and we haven't been for a very long time.
Gotcha.
Like, I've never been a big fan of the vehicles in games. I know that's more of a you thing. You've always really liked the vehicles in Battlefield. I think they worked in the older Battlefield games because the maps were smaller. In the older games, the maps felt like they were designed. You could walk, you could take a vehicle, you could do whatever you want. In the newer games, I feel like they're designed for you to get in a vehicle. You need to get in the vehicle to get to the next objective. Like, that's how you're supposed to play.
Right.
And you can't really be like that foot soldier like you used to be able to do in you know, Vietnam in 1942. I guess.
I'd agree. I think that Battle Royale definitely has stolen a lot of its thunder. You know, a big part of Battlefield 2 was like 32 versus 32 matches. And now you've got groups of like 100 people going at each other all separately. And I think you're right that the maps have gotten bigger but emptier, and I don't know if even like more dense city maps were just like, oh, you can go in every building. I don't know if that would make it better.
I don't want to do that.
Exactly. It seems like it'd be worse. That's kind of like what Warzone does, and I think even Warzone, when you're in the more city type areas, it's just really boring. When you're walking through an entire 8-floor skyscraper just to make sure no one else is in there.
Yep.
And it was all for nothing. Yeah, I don't know, like, I'm a graphics whore, so if the graphics are really good, I guess that would kind of interest me. But Battlefield 1 really intrigued me because of where it was set, the time period, the weapons, the maps. But I don't know if they can replicate that. and it doesn't look like they're going to. It looks like they're going for a more modern setting again. And I don't know if between Warfare and Battlefield 5, which was not good, which took place during World War II again, though. Like, I don't know if... I don't know what would interest me in that, but it was something I was thinking about when I saw the two leaked screenshots that they had of the game. I was just like, I don't care.
There's leaked screenshots of Battlefield?
Yeah, somebody in a jet passing by a city, and then the other one was so uninteresting, I don't even remember what it was. But it was just, who cares? I just don't understand like what the hook is anymore when everyone has kind of taken Battlefield's model and copied it. And like you said, the best Battlefield was Wake Island or the old ones where you could be anything and everywhere. And you're right, in Battlefield 5, it was, if you don't take a vehicle in some of the places, you're walking for 15 minutes before you get to the next point if you were sent back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to have like a strong showing for Battlefield to make anybody interesting in it, or put their own spin on a battle royale, which at this point is going to be really tough for a game like Battlefield.
Yeah, and they tried to do that, but I feel like they really botched it with Battlefield 5, right? Like,
oh, they absolutely ruined Battlefield 5.
It was just out one day. Like, I had no idea.
It was we finished coming it, out. Guys. Here you go.
And then the battle royale wasn't there. It was just a mess.
Yeah, Battlefield 5 was such a disappointment after Battlefield 1 was so good. That it's just going to take a long time to make me want to play another Battlefield game, unless they're, like I said, their showing is fantastic. But that's why I asked you, because I can't think of a reason that to be excited about Battlefield.
Yeah. Are they going back to, well, you said jet, so it's
modern? It looks like it's modern, yeah. Mm. At least 70s.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hope they find their audience, but I'm not it anymore. It's yeah. Just not for me.
I mean, I would hope I'm still their audience, but I don't care. I got Warzone is so similar to whatever I picture the new Battlefield would be. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but that's coming out holiday, and they should have an announcement in June. So we just saw a trailer for Stargate Timekeepers.
Don't even think about asking me what I thought of it, Mike.
No, I'm not. But here's my question to you.
What'd you think? Do you think
it's too little too late for Stargate SG-1?
Was that for SG-1?
Yeah, it's a Stargate SG-1 game. Because I'm thinking, yeah.
I don't know. Stargate's such a weird property. Like, I feel like there have been so many games for Stargate that have just never came out. Like, I can't think of examples, but I feel like every couple of years it's like, oh, they're making a Stargate game. And like, yeah, it's probably too late. When did SG-1 go off the air?
I feel like at least 7 years ago, if not more at this
point. It's got to be more than that.
Yeah, probably more.
It's got to be. Like, I need to look that up, because I'd say it's...
I mean, it ended and they had like four TV movies.
You don't think it was like 15 years ago?
It could be 15 years ago. I have no sense of time anymore.
Oh my God.
I mean, this thing ended forever.
I know Atlantis kept going, and then like they...
There's Universe.
Then they relaunched SGU. Like, it's... SG-1 has to be more than 15 years ago. Like, I feel strong about that, but let's see. Stargate SG-1. Let's see. 97, and it was 10 seasons. So 2007, it looks like. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it could be right, and then they had the
movies. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Movies. It's 10 seasons. It says it ended in 2008.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh my God, Richard Dean Anderson, what happened to you?
Oh, he got big.
He just looks like a completely different person. Oh, wow.
You'll never have another Stargate. Richard Dean Anderson.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. No offense to my man here. But he doesn't even look like the same person. He is definitely not military. Wow. So it's been off the air for 13 years. And I know there is a strong pocket a fandom around Stargate.
Right.
And I'm sure Atlantis ran for another 5 or 6 years after SG-1. And I know SGU, even because that's why I knew it was more than 7 years ago. I feel like SGU was, that had to be 8 or 9 years ago.
SGU was a while ago. Yeah. And that didn't run for more than what, 1 or 2 seasons.
I remember I wasn't living here yet.
Really?
So
it's got to be a long time ago. Yeah.
It might even be 10 years ago for that. I don't know. I don't think I was living here. I feel like I have memories of like trying to watch it on cable, and I've never had cable here. So I think Stargate is a very cool property. I think done right, it could be awesome. But it's probably too little too late, especially like trying to to make it a game about SG-1 specifically.
Yeah.
Very strange. Like, explore the universe. Like, you can do so much fun stuff with Stargate, like a very, like, you know, Uncharted or like Indiana Jones style adventure in the Stargate universe would be fantastic. But I feel like there's a very certain vibe you'd have to capture with it to make it at all interesting. And I feel like they must be having trouble capturing that vibe, because again, this is not the first time I've seen a trailer for a Stargate game.
No, there was
that has never came out.
There was that first person shooter game that was supposed to come out a while ago when SG-1 was still coming out, and it looked kind of cool the way they described it, like the multiplayer mode where one person was the bad guys and they'd infect everybody else.
The MMO never came out, right?
Oh, there was the MMO, right? That never came out either. Yeah.
There was a first person shooter. You're right. I feel like within the past 3 years, there was one though.
That came out?
No, that was announced.
That wasn't the MMO. So you're right about the MMO, because I can remember stories about the MMO as well.
Maybe it was the MMO that I'm thinking of that was more recently. But either way, a lot of stuff that must be getting lost in development hell or just, you know, scrapped. Because I'm sure with a lot of people, you say, hey, when are we going to Stargate game? They go, oh, cool. What's Stargate?
Yeah.
Because it is, you know, it's not like in the zeitgeist right now at all.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of people who love sci-fi. Like, my girlfriend's very into sci-fi.
She's
never watched Stargate. Like, it was a very niche show, even at its time, even at the time, you know? So yeah, I probably too late. Probably too late.
I would agree. I do want to look at it. Obviously the trailer didn't show us anything other than the gate opening up, but
it was a Stargate.
Yeah.
Chevrons are locked.
Like, I don't know who's going to play it and how many fans it's going to have. It's just, it's a really weird thing to go back. And we're going to do a game about a movie or a TV series that ended 14, 15 years ago. It'd make more sense to do it about the movie. I think at this point, the movie's more popular than the show in terms of people that remember the movie with Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who knows?
I would say that's probably not a very remembered movie either, but.
I just don't get it. I hope it does well. I hope it's a good game, because like you said, we both, I think, like Stargate, but it just seems weird.
Mm-hmm. Has a Stargate game ever came out? I feel like I played one.
There was a Stargate game on Super Nintendo based on the movie. Nope. Stargate.
I'm going to Wikipedia if you don't remember.
There might be some mods for like Jedi Outcast or something like that that were like Stargate themed.
I feel like I played one, because again, there's a very specific vibe that Stargate has to have.
I know it.
There was Stargate SG-1 Alliance. That was canceled in 2005.
That might be the first person shooter one.
Stargate Worlds.
That was the failed MMO.
Failed MMO. So there's a game called Stargate Resistance. It came out in 2009. Oh, wait. It came out in 2010. Oh, I enjoy how outdated this Wikipedia article must be, because it says it was announced in December 2009 and originally released in 2010. And since then, FireSky Entertainment entered into an agreement with Dark Comic Games for the maintenance, operation, and development of Stargate Resistance. And new downloadable content is being released. No, it fucking ain't. January 2011, that game shut down. Stargate SG-1 Unleashed. Announced 2013. I could have sworn I played a Stargate game, but I guess not.
Maybe you played Resistance.
Maybe.
Yeah. It just seems like a really weird.
Seems like something that might have game flied. But
oh, maybe. Yeah. Just seems like a really weird thing to announce now.
I mean, I still kind of want to see it. I like Stargate.
I mean, I hope for the best.
Stargate's a show that I constantly say, I want to rewatch Stargate. I never do. But I tell myself I want to all the time. I've tried a couple episodes and like the first season doesn't really hold up.
I was going to say it must. I think it might be outdated at this point.
The first season definitely doesn't hold up. But I feel like even when I was watching the show, the first season wasn't great. I feel like it got better as it went on as far as like, you know, visuals and whatnot.
Yeah. I feel like the first season was a lot of human camps in the middle of Ontario.
Yeah. How? I don't know how that show managed to make a key turning so exciting so many times. Just the plot of every episode was just, oh my God, we need to lock these chevrons. We need something's blocking the chevrons. Something's controlling the chevrons. Every episode, just we need to lock the chevrons.
Those fucking chevrons, man. They were everything in that show.
They were. It's like a phone number.
Do I hit one for the area code or not?
Well, that's how Atlantis started, right? It was they found there were 10 digits. Yeah. There was a 10th chevron or whatever.
Yeah. Wait, if we hit one and then the number, we go to another place.
I mean, I literally think they discovered the area code.
I think that's exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. Man, this show, that makes me not want to watch. I did like it when it was on, though.
Yeah, but I think you lent me the DVDs at one point.
Probably. Yeah. So the other thing I had to talk about was just Resident Evil Village, which I know you didn't play, and I know you're probably not going to play.
Nope.
Since it's a quote-unquote scary game. And I was thinking about maybe doing a post-game on it for an episode where, like, maybe you weren't available or whatever, but I can't. I don't like this game at all. I don't think it's not scary. So if that was something you were afraid of for your barrier of entry, it's not. It's just not good. The game follows the same character from Resident Evil 7, but you're in a village in East
Europe. Why isn't the game quote unquote scary?
It's really cheesy. It's really lame. They throw werewolves at you at the very beginning of the game that are like half lichen. Like they're called lichens. Just like,
if you came in not expecting it to be scary, would you be having a fun time? Is it like cheesy good? Because horror can definitely be cheesy and good.
If I came in expecting it to not be scary, not having known what Resident Evil is, it might be a good time. If this was like House of the Dead and they did a House of the Dead remake and that's what I was playing, I might be okay with it. But it's so unbelievably weird and just mythological and more supernatural than Resident Evil games ever were, mm-hmm. that it definitely doesn't feel Resident Evil. And it doesn't have any kind of scariness that Biohazard Resident Evil 7 had, and I can't see a way that, and I granted I'm only about a quarter of the way into the game, I can't see how it really ties into the overall Resident Evil mythology like Biohazard
the did. Game's broken into like four bosses or something like that.
Yeah, so when you into Eastern Europe, you have
how many these bosses people. And are you in like how based on that how
I'm getting to the second boss.
Okay,
the second lord of this Eastern European town. They're all led by a witch who is the main bad guy who you're going to face later on in the game. But there's vampires, werewolves, puppet master, like a Frankenstein thing, and like a merman. And it's just so unbelievably weird and stupid compared to like Umbrella was making a Biohazard agent, which made zombies and big spiders and zombie dogs. Mm-hmm. Made sense to me. Then in the next one, it made like the zombie people with the mold in Biohazard 7, and it all tied into Umbrella experimenting with all that made sense. And this one just doesn't seem to make any lick of sense and just is really silly.
Does this take place like just in the timeline? Is it before or after Umbrella?
This is after Umbrella. So Umbrella is no longer an official company. Chris Redfield is part of a really long acronym organization that's going after anybody who makes biological agents.
Is he the bad guy in this?
It seems to be he's a bad guy. So the game starts off your character who had saved his wife in number 7. They had a kid. The kid's being tested to make sure the kid doesn't have any mold. Like his wife was infected with that evil mold in the 7th one. After one night, you put your kid to bed. Your wife gets gunned down right in front of you. Your kid gets stolen from you. You end up waking up in this Eastern European town and you're trying to find your baby. And Chris Redfield apparently has stolen the baby and killed everybody.
That was like unnecessary spoilers.
It's in the trailer. It's the first like 5 seconds of the game. It just doesn't really make much sense. And your character of Ethan in this one just gets so beat up ridiculously. The very beginning of the game, he gets half of his left hand eaten off. And he's able to just cure it by putting the fucking green herb on his hand. And it's like, oh, I'm fine. Later on in the game, he's hung by his hands and he actually rips his hands in half in order to escape these hooks that he's grappled onto. And he's still able to use his hands. He's gotten slashed through his abdominal. His ankle has actually had an entire sickle through it. He just survives all these attacks that are just so unbelievably stupid that it's just really unbelievable compared to the realistic seven.
But if these things weren't happening in cutscenes, isn't that just Resident Evil?
Yeah, if they weren't happening in cuts, well, ripping in those, you get like bit and you're like, oh, get off of me. But in Resident Evil, I've never remembered anybody's hands from the center up getting ripped in half and like you're still using it, or do your actual fingers bit off?
I mean, the way you're describing it, it just sounds like a video game that knows it's a video game.
And yes.
And that sounds kind of fun. Like,
yeah, but fun isn't, I don't know. It doesn't seem like Resident Evil to me. It just really like kind of takes me out of it and really makes it not scary if your character can live through all that. And the characters are all really heightened and just kind of like jokey. And the 7 foot tall vampire lady everybody loves is just like, all right, she just likes blood and she's a 1930s lady. The puppet bride is just ridiculous. There's a puppet that is alive and is just really, really hokey and weird. And Ethan makes all these comments, your main character you are, that are just like, oh, again, not again, and all this. That really take me out of what the game should be. And I know they're trying to harken back to Resident Evil 4, because I know a lot of people like Resident Evil 4. Mm-hmm. But I think that's where Resident Evil started to lose its way. And I think they really found something in 7 that they're losing now. And I feel like it's not just that, but in the gameplay, I feel like I'm playing a movie. I feel like nothing I do matters. I feel like if I kill the enemies, don't kill the enemies, run past them, solve puzzles, which are really easy. I just feel like no matter what's going to happen, everything's going to happen to me. I'm just running toward the next cutscene.
Huh.
I don't know if Resident Evil, like you've played the first three. I don't know if Resident Evil's never felt like I was running toward a cutscene.
No. I guess not. I mean, I feel like I'm just running towards the next super intricate lock that needs half of a medallion to
to activate. Yeah.
But no, I guess I never felt like they were story driven games in any way. Like, no. So no, I don't think I'm running towards a cutscene when I play Resident Evils.
Yeah. And this one, I just feel like the puzzles are really easy too. It's not you're finding half a medallion, you're finding a whole ass medallion, and it's there. It's right there.
Well, that's nice.
It's nice, but it's just...
I don't want to find L-Crest and R-Crest. Just give me Crest.
I just don't feel like there's anything interesting about it. And like the vampire ladies turn into bugs and disappear and rejoin themselves. It doesn't feel like it's a biohazard weapon. I mean, I'm sure it will be. I'm sure they'll tie it into an old Umbrella experiment in some way. But it's getting to the point of ridiculous now. And if this was supposed to be a soft reboot, they've jumped from what... This should be like Resident Evil 12, and then they kind of cycle back from there. This has just pushed it way too far. Mm-hmm. The graphics are really nice. I do love the graphics. I think they're great. I think the detail they put into the game is great. I think the character models are really good. Things are creepy in the game in terms of how everything's lit and drawn and the Eastern European feel to everything. There's a big fat guy called the Duke that appears who's like a shopkeep. And you can buy and upgrade your weapons from him, and he's always giving you hints and he's always in the areas you have to go to.
Is the combat difficult?
Yes. Although forgiving, like you can survive a lot of attacks, at least in the mode I'm playing, the standard mode. The combat is like the lichens take a lot of attack, like a lot of shots to hurt. But I don't feel like where I'm shooting them matters. Like I feel a headshot or body shot, they're always going to take a clip and two bullets for my handgun to take down. You know what I mean? It's not like in the remakes of Resident Evil 2 and 3, a headshot really meant something. Headshots mean nothing in this. The lichens are coming after me and I have to put my hands up, wait, and then unload the same amount of bullets no matter what I do.
And is it, when you say it's forgiving, is ammo plentiful? Like, am I like rationing my shots, or is there usually like, is it usually giving me what I need to get through the next area or whatever?
Yeah, you're always going to find after a big action sequence, another room where you're going to find three boxes of handgun ammo to make up for what you lost. You're always going to find the gunpowder and rusty scrap that you need when you're crafting, which the crafting is a joke in this game, to make more handgun ammo if you need. Same with health packs and green herbs and all that kind of stuff. It's not difficult in any way in terms of that. I suppose in the harder modes, they probably lessen the amount of ammo you get, but I feel like they're always giving me the ammo I need. And half the time I get attacked, I can't tell if it's scripted or I'm supposed to, especially toward the beginning of the game. I couldn't tell. Am I supposed to lose here? Am I supposed to survive here? There are a lot of moments where you are supposed to lose to continue the next place. I just became, well, then why was I trying to begin with? Mm-hmm. The first map, especially the first time the werewolves try to attack you, I spent a good 20 minutes running away from them, collecting all the ammo I could, shooting as many as I could. And the whole point was, I guess, to die. So I wasted 15 minutes going, well, I could have just waited to get hit. Mm-hmm. It's stuff like that that really bothers me in the game.
Yeah, I never liked those like fake out kind of sequences in games where like you are supposed to die. It's silly and dumb.
Yeah, that's most of this game.
But honestly, you're making, I don't want to play the game still, but like I'm more interested in the game now than I was prior to you talking about it.
I can see that. It's definitely a game for someone. I just don't think it's the game that I was hoping for in terms of Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. But I think that and they did say, I was reading an article with the director who said that he's the same guy who directed 7, that they made 7 too scary. And that a lot of people that they surveyed said, this game is too scary, I'm not really interested in it. Mm-hmm. So he said, that's a compliment to us. That's what we're trying for. But that's not necessarily something that's going to get people to play the whole game. We want to find a nice balance. But I feel like they went too far the other way. Like, I think Resident Evil 2 is a perfect game because you thought that was pretty scary with the zombies and stuff in the darkened hallways. But I think that was a good balance between what Resident Evil 7, which Resident Evil 7 was really scary. Like, if I played, I would not be able to play it in the VR mode that was available. But this game is kind of hokey, and it is more like House of the Dead than it is Resident Evil.
So it's less scary than Resident Evil 2?
It is way less scary than Resident Evil 2. It's not that dark either. There's not a lot of jump scares and stuff like that. It's just, here's monsters. It's weird. It's creepy. I would say it's creepy, but not scary. Hmm. It's gothic.
Gothic and creepy don't really appeal to me either.
So. Yeah. It's
still not necessarily for me.
Bioshocky, I guess, in a way, almost. In terms of like the way the dialogue is and the way it's, not in terms of the quality of story, but in terms of it's a first-person shooter with some creepy moments that are meant to make you feel a certain way, but aren't necessarily meant to like scare you or shock you or anything like that.
Bioshock isn't a great reference, even if it's spot on, just because when I think Bioshock, there's like a very specific visual aesthetic that's in my head.
Oh, it's not going for that retro aesthetic. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think there's any way that's what Resident Evil is. So I can't really.
This game is definitely a Tim Burton nightmare come to life almost.
Okay.
Which in that case, like design wise, it's fantastic. It's just some of that stuff just really. And again, I still have 3 more bosses and then the full main witch lady to fight. But I don't know. I'm a little disappointed. I know a lot of people really like the game, and I just am a little disappointed in it compared to Resident Evil 7, which I thought was an amazing, amazing experience. Really scary, but really kind of straightforward, connected in all the right ways, but was still its own kind of reboot of the franchise. And this just feels like taking different steps that seem brave, but maybe aren't the right steps to take.
Yeah, I don't know. Keep at it, bud.
I'm going to beat it. I mean, I paid for it, and it's
probably only an 8-hour game.
Fun. Yeah, it's only a 10-hour total, I think. So I'm pretty deep into it now, so I'm going to beat it. But I'm a little disappointed because 7, I didn't buy when it first came out because I think something else came. And last year or 2 years ago, I played it. I was like, why didn't I get this when it came out? It was amazing. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yes, yes, yes.
I got Mass Effect Legacy coming out soon and Biomutant. So I got stuff to keep me busy.
When's Biomutant again?
Biomutant is the end of this month. I want to say the 25th.
Okay. And when's Mass Effect?
This Friday.
Mass Effect is this week?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I need to find time to play that. Because I would very much like to play. I definitely want to get into Mass Effect 1. I don't know if I'll replay the whole trilogy, but I'm excited to play Mass Effect 1 with, you know, whatever updates they're putting in there.
That's the one I'm most excited to retry and see how they changed everything, because they changed the Mako, they changed the combat and all that.
Yeah, because I mean, I still stand by that Mass Effect 1 is the best of the three.
It's got the best single story, yeah.
But I can definitely see why not many other people feel that way. So I'd love to see, you know, Mass Effect 3 with the Mass Effect with the huge improvements they made as far as combat goes in 2 and 3.
Right.
So
no, for sure.
Fingers crossed.
They got to do it right. I'm hoping. Don't do us wrong.
Remember the first Mass Effect? If it was ever like a difficult combat encounter, I would just like stand back and snipe those giant Geth things from a mile away.
I'm just going to be back here, guys. You go ahead and go fight them.
Now, very, very curious to see what it's all about.
You going Paragon or you going Renegade?
I usually kind of just mixed it up. Like I never committed to one. Well, I mean, I did commit to each path because I played the game so many times.
Yeah.
But like my character, it's always a, you know, my canon playthrough is just whatever I'm feeling in the moment. I'm probably going to push someone out a window. I'll probably threaten to beat someone up if they don't give me something. But like, I'm not going to be pulling the trigger on people's heads, you know, or whatever there might be.
I was mostly Paragon, but I did a couple of, I think I pushed the guy at the window.
I'll yell at someone to shut up if they're getting on my nerves.
I definitely, I remember my Paragon playthrough. I slapped the reporter. Mm-hmm. I remember I punched her. I was like, fuck this lady. I didn't realize I was reading the other day. So it's really hard, I guess, if you're not a Renegade to keep Rex alive. I didn't realize that. I guess a lot of people on a forum I was reading were like, or I was reading the comments on something, how hard it was to keep Rex alive if you're trying to be a good guy. To convince him not to go back in or not to redo the plans in the first game.
I don't remember.
It was something about making all the, that had to do with the, obviously the, his people, Krogan's being sterile, but I was like, I don't remember that being difficult to convince him not to do it, but.
Yeah, I don't remember the specifics of that choice.
Because I kept Rex alive during both my Renegade and Paragon playthrough, but you know, who knows? But I think it's going to be fun to go back and play through the game for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, me too.
And that's all I got.
Yeah, that's all I got as all well.
Right. All right, well, you got a pup sleeping on you, and I'm hungry, and this is the end of the episode, so I'm going to get out of here. So for Two Player Bros, I'm Mike. That's Dave. Stay safe. Keep on gaming.